But today I'd like to speak to you from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. We've read it already. Let me direct our minds that way by saying that we live in a world governed by cause and effect. Yeah? You plant a bulb in the fall, and in the spring, you get a flower. You put gasoline in the tank, and it goes to the cylinder, and the spark plug sparks, and it combusts, and it drives the piston, and it turns the whatever thingy it turns, and that turns something else, and the car goes forward. It is a world, at least in the physical world, of cause and effect. I grasp the tennis ball, I lift it high, I'm causing it to rise, I open my hand, gravity takes over, I'm helping gravity a little bit, and there is an effect. This is the law of the land, at least in the physical world. It may be in some aspects in the spiritual world also. What I mean is, in the Bible, this idea of cause is described as the heart. It is the confluence of motivations. The Bible says the heart is the wellspring of life. Everything comes out of the heart, right? Jesus said words come out of the heart. It is an amalgamation of emotion. That's how we tend to use the word heart. But it also includes beliefs. Today we might say worldview, values. It is the inner motivational structure that causes action. Well, what causes us? What is the heart, this emotion, belief, worldview, structure? What is the heart that leads to generosity? What causes the wallet to open? Well, something in the heart, yeah? I think that our scripture gives us some insight into the motivations of the heart with that little word, first fruit. Here's the proverb once again, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. So that word first fruit implies that something is going on in the heart. Let me explain. It was an agricultural culture, right? Wealth was measured by flocks and herds and lands and crops and the produce of the land. You can imagine that it was difficult to give away the first part of the harvest, the first fruits. Difficult to give that away. You've made it through the winter. You've done your spring plowing. You've planted your crops. Whew, good, finally. But nothing's coming up yet. You're still living on canned green beans and a bag of dried apples. You move into summer. You're working hard, you're sweating, you're weeding, you're irrigating, and they're starting to come up, but you don't have a harvest yet. You move into harvest time, woohoo, finally! We can harvest, we have abundance, our barns are filled. Set the table, it's a time of feasting has come. You can imagine that it would be hard to give away the first part of the harvest, the first fruits. And God says, yes, it is. Yes, it is difficult to do that. And that's part of the reason I am counseling you here in Proverbs to do so. Honor the Lord with the first fruits. It was difficult to do. A few years ago, my wife and I were picking blueberries. You pick blueberries? And this blueberry, do you call it an orchard? You were allowed to eat the blueberries as you picked. Well, I take full advantage of that. And so I was eating, but it's hard work. We were there in the morning, and the dew was still, and it was wet, and there were mosquitoes, and, you know. But I was working hard, and I was picking hard, and we got the harvest. And we got a big flat. I think we got two flats, 20 or 30 pounds of blueberries. Yes, 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 yes. Then we went home, and my wife, who is more generous than I am, said, oh, we have that event coming up. I think I'll make a blueberry pie. And I whined. I said, a blueberry pie? Doesn't it take a lot of blueberries to make a pie? She said, yeah, it does. Well, I mean, we were in the mosquitoes and everything. It was, and it's hard to give away the first fruits of the harvest. But the Lord says, honor me. I'm looking for a heart that will actually do so. All right, so what is the heart? What's the motivation that's sort of embedded in that concept of first fruits? The first heart attitude is worship, or as it says, honor. Honor. In our Proverbs study, we might say fear of the Lord, correctly aligning ourselves in this universe. Honor the Lord. Giving him the first fruits was a way of acknowledging him, worshiping him, fearing him, loving, serving, thanking, honoring him. If you want to see a case study of this in action, this heart that leads to honoring the Lord, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is David. And you may remember that David built a palace, but he was not permitted, the Lord did not permit him to build the temple because he was a man of war, and that would be for his son Solomon. But David could gather all the stuff. He could gather all the building materials. He wanted to do his part, so he did that. And the people contributed, and oh man, they gave so much stuff. They gave precious stones, and they gave iron, and all the different things, the timbers, everything. And then David gave of his own treasury, his own personal wealth. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he prayed to dedicate all this. Listen to his prayer. He blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now, we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. All that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Thank you. That's the heart. This correct alignment, this worldview, this emotion that leads to generosity. Being willing to give when it's hard of the first fruits. So, what are you thankful for? Thankful for your family? Sure you are, of course. That comes from God. Are you thankful for your friends? For your church? Yes. That is a gift from God. Are you thankful for your salvation? That God has rescued you from hell and given you an inheritance among his people in the kingdom? Yes, you're thankful. That's the heart that leads to this kind of effect or this kind of action. What are you thankful for? Are you thankful for your job? Are you thankful for transportation? Are you thankful for good weather? Are you thankful for Wi-Fi? Are you thankful for a good interim pastor? A little slow there. Are you thankful for a good staff at the church? Yes, these are gifts. The Bible says all things come from God. And so, we give him from the first fruits, not the last dregs. Riches come from God. and we thank him. Honor comes from God, and we thank him. You know, that promotion you got, that award you received, you have a title after your name. These are gifts from God, and we thank him. Strength comes from the Lord God, and we thank him. As you're listening to this sermon today, your heart will beat about 2,000 times. Perhaps a little bit elevated because it's such an exciting sermon. Your strength comes from God. Your brain waves are firing, your synapses are humming. All things come from God. That is the worldview, that is the heart, that is the feeling, that's the belief structure that leads us to generosity. All right, a second attitude, a second heart issue is behind a giving of the first fruits, and it is this. It is confidence, trust, a feeling of reliance and confidence on God. The idea is, if you're going to give away part of the first fruits, remember, you don't have the whole harvest yet. If you're going to give away part of the first fruits, you have to believe and trust there's more coming. God will provide. Thus, giving from the first fruits was a demonstration of this heart attitude of confidence. He cares, he watches, he sees, he provides. Our Lord Jesus said it this way. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. In Greek, the word sparrow is actually in the diminutive form, so you might translate sparrowette, little tiny sparrowette, little bird thingy. And Jesus said, not one of these little bird thingies falls to the ground. Oh, you guys are more valuable than those sparrows. When our son Daniel, who's now 25 years old, was a little boy, his aunt and uncle gave him a bird feeder. Thought that would be an educational gift. And it was shaped like a little house, and the roof, you could turn the roof up and put in the bird seed, put the roof down. It had a rope over it, so we took the bird feeder and we put the rope over a low branch in our backyard, and then we filled it up with bird seed, and because it was on a low branch and because of the weight of the bird seed, it was only about that high off the ground. And then we stood at the sliding glass door into our backyard, and we watched. And every day, little robins and wrens and little sparrowette bird thingies came and fed. And every day, a big old blue jay, two or three or four times as big as those little birds, would come. He'd land on that little house, and he would kind of walk sideways like this and sort of elbow those little birds, and they would half flutter, half fall to the ground. And every time that happened, God saw it. And in some mysterious way that we can hardly wrap our minds around, he not only saw, he oversaw. He sees, he knows, he cares, he oversees. Don't worry. You are more value than many sparrows. And that's the conviction, and that's the heart that leads to generosity, that leads us to give from our first fruits. The Bible says that when we do this, when we honor the Lord in this way, your vats will be bursting with new wine. In the biblical times, they would have a rock area, solid rock, which they would chisel and hollow out to make a shallow receptacle for the grapes. It was about 1 meter long by 2 meters wide, and they would just dump the baskets of grapes, and then they would squish the grapes in there. They'd stomp on them or however they squished them. Then there was a little rock channel they created to a lower rock area with another receptacle where the juice would flow down. And that properly is what the Bible is referring to as the vat, that lower area. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., and we actually saw one of these reenacted. And the Bible says, your vats will be bursting with new wine. New wine is the oozings of the grapes before they're even stomped on. So you get these ripe grapes, and you put them in the top level, and then you put some more in there, and the weight kind of, you know, crushes them a little bit, and it starts oozing and trickling out, and it's the best juice. It's full of very high sugar content. Your vats, plural, you're going to need more than one, will be bursting with new wine. And may I testify to you of the truth of this verse in my own life. I have received grace upon grace because of His grace. But our minds naturally turn to the exceptions to this rule, promise, observation, right? I mean, you know some people whose vats are leaking. They love God, they serve Him, they honor Him, and yet they're so poor, and they have physical problems and this and that. So what do we do with that? Well, maybe we go back to the second week of this series. I'm sure that you've inscribed that sermon on the tablet of your heart. But in case you need a reminder, the title of that sermon was, Does Proverbs Promise Too Much? And a verse like this really calls that to mind. You remember that Proverbs are observations about life in a stable environment of the covenant of God. When we walk with God, when all is going as planned, when we walk in the fear of God, we observe these things to happen, we can expect this to happen. And that's what Proverbs gives us, observations on life. But life isn't always stable, is it? Some scholars say that the unstable or the problem of evil or the fallen condition is actually the norm. And so what do we do when these beautiful proverbs don't seem to be taking place in people's lives? Well, we turn to the wisdom of Job. We look to the life and wisdom and the teaching of our Lord Jesus, who always honored God. And yet, maybe we shift our focus with a proverb like this to the next age. Honor Him and you will be rewarded. Our Lord Jesus seemed to do that. For example, in Mark chapter 10, let me read to you a few verses. Mark chapter 10, our Lord said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. That sounds like Proverbs. But then he goes on. In addition to those things, along with those things, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. So maybe we can cling to a proverb like this and testify to the goodness of God and acknowledge the truth of Job, the truth of our Lord, persecutions also, and maybe we set our minds forward to the age to come. Honor the Lord with your first fruits, and your vats will be bursting with new wine. May I give you one more heart motivation? For this one, we need to go outside of our Proverbs, our passage in Proverbs, and I'd like to go back to the First Chronicles passage. The third heart attitude is this: we are strangers and sojourners. The first two heart attitudes related to God. We honor him, we worship him, we are confident in him, we trust him. The third heart attitude relates to ourselves. It's a view of ourselves. We are strangers on this earth and sojourners. Here's the First Chronicles. "But who am I," David says, "and what is my people that we should be able to thus to offer willingly? For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding." It would have been easy for the first settlers in the land of Canaan to see themselves as strangers and sojourners. I'm talking about Abraham and his son Isaac and his son Jacob, because you know, they had just come into the land. They had just their immediate family, just their clan, maybe 30 or 40 or 70 people in the whole household, and they were strangers and sojourners. They lived in tents. They had no permanent structure. But then we fast forward to David. He wrote this, he prayed this, hundreds of years after Abraham, maybe 1,000 years after Abraham, and yet he says, "We are strangers and sojourners." You have to understand, he built a palace. He planted olive groves. He had vineyards. He was, the borders of Israel were expanding. They were permanent citizens, right? He says, "No. We're just passing through. We are sojourners. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding." Fast forward to Hamilton, Massachusetts. The pilgrims have come. They were strangers and sojourners. They sailed the Speedwell. They landed. They plowed the fields. They stopped the streams. They created water-powered mills. And now, hundreds of years later, here we are. We're permanent citizens, right? You have a house. 61 Postgate Road. No. You are a sojourner. You're working on your retirement account. You're laying up riches for that day, that rainy day to come. You're putting down roots. You've planted trees in your yard. You are like a shadow, and there's no abiding. That view of self will greatly influence how we handle his money. I think it may lead to a more open-handed generous, a less clutching action. 2 Peter chapter 3, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? Hebrews chapter 11, these heroes of the faith all died in faith, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people like that make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So giving of the first fruits, giving from the first fruits, is the effect from this cause, this heart, this worldview, this feeling, this attitude toward God and toward ourselves. All right, how shall we apply this teaching? This whole thing, this whole message has been about the heart. I've said nothing specific about the effect beyond the general statement that we'll be generous. I haven't talked about how much we should give. I haven't used the word tithing. I haven't talked about where we should apportion God's money, like how much do we give here and how much do we give there. No, this is a message about the heart. So here's our application. Examine your heart. You can do so by looking at the effect. So, are you, just be honest, are you grudging when you give money? Why? Is it a view of entitlement? I deserve, I work for this. These are my blueberries. Are you stingy? Are you parsimonious? Why? What's in the heart? We examine our hearts. What is your view of God? Is he a river of grace overflowing its banks, and we just get caught up and swept up into it? Or is God a dry wadi, a Middle Eastern gulch? There's enough moisture down at the bottom to color the soil a darker color and a few scrub bushes, but that's about it. Was it Tozer that said the most important fact about us is our view of God? What is in the heart? We believe that God is provider of everything. Therefore, we are grateful. We worship him and fear him. We believe that he is powerful and loving and sovereign, and his eye is on the sparrow. Therefore, we are confident. We believe that we are sojourners and strangers, just passing through, so we don't get too attached to the things of this world. And if you want to see this lived out beautifully, look at our Lord Jesus Christ. For our sake, he became poor so that we might become rich in him. Out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe, it was a riches to rags story, and back to riches. And so we are moved by the example of our Lord Jesus, and our hearts are stirred, and we believe in his power in his loving intentions, and we believe in ourselves, in a sense, that we are just passing through. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help me believe this, adopt this, feel this, these truths, so that we will give from the first fruits. Heavenly Father, please work in our hearts, cause and effect, and help us to honor you with what you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.